Good morning, Oceanside family. It's good to be worshiping with you, even from afar, this morning. Thanks so much for joining us and doing that. I hope you're all doing well at home. I know a lot of you are planting gardens. I hope that's going well. I have a confession. At our place, we have four garden beds, and we haven't planted anything in any of them. So I apologize. Some of you feel I'm taking it for granted, and I kind of am. But you know, perhaps some of you want to rent them out from our place. Right? So maybe some subletting can happen there. Anyways, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying connected with one another. I hope you're staying sane and finding ways to stay active. And I hope you're all getting along well, especially all the kids. And when, you know, on the note of staying connected, I get to see the youth on a regular basis. I see them on our weekly youth night Zoom chat. And Ellie, she sees the preteens on a weekly basis on the preteen Zoom call. It's not quite the same, obviously, but we're trying to make the best of this season. You know, we're trying to have a good attitude about it all. And, you know, we know that the Lord is still working to grow us all in this season. And we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us find creative and fresh ways to engage and connect with one another. And although we're not physically together, we are still united in Christ. We are all still a part of His flock. And even though we have a lot of health concerns at this time, we're still safe and secure in the care of the shepherd. Those are just a couple things that maybe you want to take with you from today's text. And I'm going to be discussing in that text the character of Jesus, the shepherd, the provision of the sheep, and the disruption to the thief. The character, the provision, and the disruption. So likely, this is a passage very familiar to you, especially if you've been with Christ for some time. It's the metaphor of the good shepherd, where Jesus describes himself to the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees, as the good shepherd. Now, up until this point in the book of John, Jesus has done many great miracles, and along the way, he's revealed much about his character. He's revealed that he is the bread of life, that he's the source of living water, and now that he is the good shepherd. And all along the way, the Pharisees have rejected Jesus, rejected the things that he's been saying. All because accepting Jesus' teaching and revelation about himself would be a massive disruption to what was already in place. It would mean surrendering the authority that they held to the ultimate authority, Jesus, the one who claimed to be one with God the Father. Now, in John chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, there are three main parties mentioned where Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." So the three parties established here are the shepherd, representing Christ, the one who is over all the sheep, caring for them. The sheep, representing God's people, those who are secure in the sheep pen, under the care of the shepherd. And the thief or robber, representing false teachers, or those who have failed to shepherd the sheep properly. But the three parties are better understood when we clear up another crucial part of this word picture Jesus is using. And that is the gate. The gate is mentioned in verse 7. It reads, "Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." In verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters it will be saved." So hearing this, we better understand what it means to be in the sheep pen. The sheep pen is salvation, and the flock of sheep are God's people. And Jesus is the way into that salvation. He is the gate. But okay, so Jesus is the gate, but isn't he also the shepherd? Yes. Notice that there are two different word pictures being used here. There's Jesus as the shepherd in the sheep pen, and then there's Jesus as the gate. And it may seem like these two images are like two separate notes that just can't harmonize. But take a look at some things Jesus has said previously in the book of John. In John chapter 6, he's revealed that he is the living bread that came down from heaven, and that he would give this bread of life to the world. And in chapter 7, he reveals that he is the source of living water, and that he would give people water so that they will never thirst again. And now, in chapter 10, he is revealing himself as the gate and the shepherd who feeds the flock. So let's discuss the provision for God's sheep and Jesus' desire to provide for us. Looking again at bread, water, and the shepherd. In John chapter 6, Jesus miraculously feeds the 5,000 using a little bit of bread and fish. In Exodus, God provides water in the wilderness for the Israelites. And in John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself as a shepherd, one whose tasks include regularly feeding and safeguarding their sheep. Through his word, we know that God cares about our everyday needs. But when Jesus makes these declarations about himself, he reveals his desire to deliver even greater provision. He provides bread and drink that will satisfy us internally and eternally, saying, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow within them." And in our text today, Christ shares with the Pharisees that he has come that we may have life and have it to the full. This is life with God involved, and a life that continues after this one. But to supply bread that does more than bread could ever do, to supply water that does more than water could ever do, the shepherd has to do more than the shepherd would ever do for his sheep. Although a typical shepherd wants to preserve his life so that he can keep his sheep alive, Jesus tells us that the good shepherd lays down his life so that his sheep may live forever. Jesus Christ, living a perfect life and being God, was prepared to die to save us from the consequence of our sin. And that's eternal death and separation from God. He came to pay the price for every candy bar you ever stole as a kid, for every lie you ever told your parents as a teen, for every hateful thought you ever fostered as an adult, and any prideful attitude you may have held later in life. He came for people who struggle with greed and sexual sin and jealousy. His life wasn't taken from him to be counted as payment for your sin. He laid it down on his own accord, and he had authority and power to take it up again. And through his death and resurrection, we can be made new. The gap sin created between us and God is closed, and we can be brought in into a relationship with God. We can be a part of his flock. And Christ allows those who believe in him to have eternal life. This is being the gate to the sheep pen. And now, let's discuss how the gate to the sheep pen is a disruption to the thief. In verse 1, it's explained that the thief doesn't go in through the gate because the gate is Christ. And the thieves that Jesus is talking about here are the religious leaders attempting to lead people into salvation without Christ. And this ultimately makes it about themselves, about their own selfish gain. The same way hopping the fence into a sheep pen, as opposed to going in through the front gate, signifies that your intentions are probably to harm or steal the sheep. for the Pharisees to accept Jesus' teaching and revelation about himself would be a massive disruption to what was already in place. To believe that Jesus was God would force them to evaluate their lives through the lens of Christ. To believe this would force them to evaluate their actions and thoughts. It's possible that they would even feel conviction to lay down some of their privileges. But this new hope that Jesus offered could only be received with new hearts. And there was an unwillingness to go through the gate to allow Jesus to disrupt what was already in place. If you believe and follow him, Jesus will forgive your sins. He will provide for your everyday needs, giving you your daily bread. He will begin to work on the parts of your life that cause you to hurt and sin. He will comfort you in your worst seasons. He will give you new hope. He will assure you that life will continue after our earthly death. You just have to enter through the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, says the Lord. However, when entering through the gate, you must know that accepting Jesus' teaching and revelation about himself could be a massive disruption to what is already in place in your life. You may have preferences, habits, or even addictions that God wants to address. Whether you're considering faith for the very first time or you've been a Christian for 100 years, Christ may disrupt parts of your life that you don't want to let go of. You may have a lifelong attitude that he wants to address and call out. You might be like me, and Christ might want to work on some control issues that you have. You might be like my friend Ben in Castlegar, who was making over $100,000 a year, but God wanted him to enter full-time youth ministry where he had to fundraise most of his salary. You might be like Hannah and Joseph, and God calls you to drive to the next country over with no plan and no job. God might ask you to do something countercultural and awkward. He might ask you to share your testimony with someone in Quality Foods. That's terrifying for some of you. Our lives might get flipped upside down if we walk in through this gate. But obeying God and trying to live in a way that pleases Christ is more than worth it. For being in the sheep pen is not a limited and confined life. Pen is not short for penitentiary, okay? In fact, Jesus, when speaking of his sheep, says, they will come in and go out and find pasture. In Christ, we have freedom to go out expressing and exercising our faith and continually return to communion with Christ. Jesus came to give his sheep life to the full. And this includes those who are not already Christians. Jesus wants to bring them into his flock. He wants one flock under the one shepherd. He died for both Jew and Gentile. And what the believer and non-believer have in common is that they will both hear his voice. There are sheep that follow Christ because they know his voice, and sheep who are not yet in his fold, but will listen to his voice. We were all created to be in close relationship with God. Therefore, we have a natural longing for God. It's natural for us to hear his voice. But what does it mean to hear God's voice? Well, if you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe you're newer to faith, make sure you are always coming back to the sheep pen through the gate. And each time you return back to communion with the Lord, allow him to inspect every part of your life. Jesus says here that his sheep know his voice. So perhaps you've been hearing it. Perhaps you even know it. But maybe you've been ignoring it. Maybe justifying your actions, or holding on to something he wants you to let go of. But when you look deep down in your heart, you know that the shepherd has been wanting to lovingly address this area of your life. Trust that he knows what's best for you, his sheep. Allow the disruption so that you may have life to the full. And if you're not a Christian, meaning you've never made a decision for Christ, maybe you've been frustrated. Maybe you felt like your life lacks purpose. Maybe you felt like there's more to life. Please be open to considering that the stirring inside of you may be the shepherd calling you into his flock. And we, as those who have already responded to the call of the shepherd, welcome you into the family of God. And if you want to make that decision for Christ, you are not alone in this journey. We would love to walk through this with you. We understand that accepting Jesus' teaching and revelation about himself may be a massive disruption to what is already in place in your life. And many of us have experienced that massive disruption. But many of us can testify to a more full life. So we want to come alongside you as you navigate your way through it all. And if you want to make that decision, I want to lead you in a prayer. So if you would, you can just follow along. Lord Jesus, I come to you and confess that I am a sinner. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you were raised from the dead. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior. I accept you as my good shepherd and recognize that you are the only way to eternal life. Thank you for inviting me into your flock. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying that with me. If you are making this decision now, maybe for the first time, one thing you can do is tell somebody. You can tell somebody who's a Christian that you've made this decision. You're also welcome to email or message any of the pastors or reach out to us through our social media platforms. We want to answer any questions you might have and make sure you have a Bible and any other resources that you need as you start your faith journey. So if that's you, please reach out. And for the rest of us, remember to always enter in through the gate.